I'm Joanne Wilson, and this is Positively Gotham Gal, meaningful conversations with women entrepreneurs about their approach to life, business, and everything in between. Claire DeBoer, Jess Shadbolt, and Annie Shee are the three entrepreneurs behind King, an amazing restaurant here in the West Village of New York City on King Street and 6th Avenue. The trio sat down with me this week to talk about how they met, what inspired and paved the way for their amazing and ambitious restaurant venture, and how they plan to support the next generation of women restaurateurs and chefs. Let's talk food. Let's talk restaurants. So let's say your name and so we can hear the voices so that people know who you all are.
Hi, I'm Annie Shee, and I'm one of three partners at King, and I run Front Up House.
Okay, great.
I'm Claire DeBoer. I'm in the kitchen.
And I'm Jess Chappell, also in the kitchen.
And so where did you three meet? Go back. Go back and back in time. Because having three women owning and running a kitchen from the front to the back, could we maybe think there's four others in the entire universe like that?
Yeah, I mean, we can't really imagine it any other way. Everyone thinks we're super special, but we're like, we all met in London.
Okay.
And I was working with Jess at the River Cafe, and Annie was living with a great friend of mine from college.
And what were you doing in London?
I was actually in a completely different industry. I was working in finance.
And you loved it, so
a way to break into the restaurant world. I was working at a restaurant on the weekends. Met
for many, many different ways. She was learning Spanish so she could speak restaurant New York restaurant language.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good.
Can't say I retain anything from my 6 month course.
She was spending every single penny traveling around Europe, going to Muggeritz and just basically eating her way through all the European
So you guys messages. Met through friends. So it wasn't like you were knocking on the door.
No, I mean, it was practically, we were set up on a blind date, and Caroline, who introduced us, was like, you guys are going to get on. And I was like, no, and then we went out for dinner and ordered the whole menu, and then by the end had decided to open something.
That's incredible.
I met Jess through Claire, obviously. I was eating by myself at the River Cafe one afternoon, and Jess was like, I think, like, whatever station's right behind the hot pink oven, and we met on that day.
And what
we were very taken by Annie. Well, I was. That was in that moment because I'd never seen a solo diner consume quite so much food in one sitting. I was like, yeah, she's got stamina.
And so how did you guys end up at the River Cafe? I mean, that is not like you ended up at your local bodega.
For me, it was one of the reasons I actually became a cook. My family ate there all the time, and it was our favorite spot. We kind of had a home in West London. And my parents always kind of told tales about it. They used to go there when they were younger, even before they had kids. And I had been trying to get a job there with Charles, who's the GM, since I was about 15. And every summer he
rejected me. He's the gatekeeper.
He's the gatekeeper. He was like, yeah, but only if you can commit to 3 months. I was like, that doesn't work with my travel schedule. And then 1 year it became, how do I become a cook? And the very same Charles was incredibly relieved that I no longer was trying to get on his team. So he told...
palmed you off to room.
He palmed me off and he said, you go to Ballymaloe and we'll give you a chance. And so I had been working in New York in finance as well, peripherally, and saved up enough money and decided to heed his words and go to Ballymaloe.
It's like the feeder school to the cafe.
It's a massive feeder school.
Got it. Is that where you went as well?
Yeah, but I've been working at L'Oreal for a few years in hair care and PR, and then a job.
So you guys are all business women.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
But I say it's a little stretch. I spent more time making salads at Goldman Sachs than I did doing business.
That's good. So you were in that L'Oreal world.
Yes, and the wonderful world of hair care and hairdressers. And then... there was a job going at the River Cafe to work with Ruthie and Rose as their like assistant. So I had kind of thought it'd be a nice way to bridge the kind of two, well.
Something else.
I'd always wanted to kind of get into food and restaurants and cook and all the rest of it. And so started there and worked with the two of them for sort of 5 years in the office. and then decided that it was time to head to Ballymaloe for a retreat.
R&R.
Rehab. And then got coerced back into the kitchen, which wasn't my initial plan, but you can't say no to Ruthie.
So what's interesting is that you all gravitated towards food. Is it something that you grew up around the table with that was important to your family? Or was it this thing that everyone thinks somehow that restaurants are super sexy to work in?
Oh, no.
Definitely not.
If you've worked in a restaurant for any amount of time, you realize it's the least sexiest. Yeah.
Which was highlighted by the moment we were cleaning out the walk-in fridge of the old restaurant, which is now King. And Jess dropped like a gallon of old fish sauce on my shoe. Oh. We're like, oh, great. Now we own a restaurant.
Right, it was a Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we all grew up with food in our family. My mother cooked every single night. We always ate dinner together as a family. And it's always been how my family gets together and celebrates. And I think that's true for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally true for the family that I raised. Yeah. I mean, everyone is very interested in the food world. I mean, my daughter's wants to be a food writer, and she's working in the food world. My son somehow has some romantic vision that opening up a restaurant is something that he should do.
He should. It's great fun.
You know?
It's great
fun. Charles, I'm going to send him to your way. But he definitely, I think it's about the community and the eating around the table and the what happens when you eat this meal and what goes on at the table that I think is romantic because it's what you grew up with.
And I think you can really tell why someone's opened a restaurant or gone into the industry when you dine somewhere. You can kind of get a feel of whether the owners, are incredibly particular, snickety, kind of chefy driven chefs who are really focused on kind of that element, or in our case,
Greedy.
I really love to entertain. So I think you can get really the essence of that.
Well, in King particular, I mean, your menu is small, right? It's very thoughtful. And the restaurant feels very much like you're having dinner in someone's fantastic living room that has lights and beautiful table and flowers, and there's not a lot to choose from. Where sometimes, when you've ever gone to someone's house and they serve 6 different proteins, 19 different, vegetables, it's like, I mean, I know growing up, it was like 1 protein, 2 vegetables, or 1 vegetable, 1 starch. I mean, it was not like a smorgasbord for everybody, but you feel that when you're in your restaurant. I mean, you've been very curated and thoughtful about what's going to be on everyone's table.
I think we really thought about what drew us to restaurants, or what captivated us about a restaurant, and what we kind of got very excited about in terms of when we were eating out or eating at home. And the key and most important elements to that were obviously the food's very important, but the atmosphere is just as important, and the ambiance is key. And from each detail, the lighting, the sound, the way that you're greeted at the door, all of those things played a part in our love for great restaurants, and the way that we entertain at home or have been kind of introduced to food. So we wanted to kind of emulate all those important factors. And when you boil it all down to the key components, we really believe that that's kind of what should shine through, just very simple, pared back, and have the focus on these very important elements.
They are
and nothing
important
more,
elements.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be anything else.
And why New York? I mean, you guys all met in London. Why New York?
I mean, why not New York?
No, that's very true. But it could have been like, why not London?
Yeah, I guess, well, my family's from New York, so I was happy to come back home, and I knew the city. I felt like I knew the city well enough to kind of
navigate where it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he sniffed out the space.
Yeah, it was lots of nights sacrificing my dinners to Mekong to get the real estate location. And then Claire's now fiance was in New York, so she was looking for a reason to
kick
off a career. And Jess is ready for adventure.
I was just up for it.
You're ready to go.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. And what did you learn after you went to the school? You were dying to get out of the finance world, and you came back and you were like, I'm going to leave
the assistant world of these two amazing women and come back into the restaurant world. You were like, I want to get into this world. So you both went, you went to the school too. What is it that you learned in the back from these two women about how to run a kitchen and how to run a restaurant? They made you, put you under their wing.
Maybe different answers. Do you want to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the beauty of having kind of straddled both ends, so the seeing how they both cared so much about the restaurant as a whole and the sort of pastoral part of the restaurant, you know, the staff, the way that they should all have, you know, 2 days off, ideally together in a row, the way that they cared about each individual, the way that they were so, you know, fearless in their vision, the way that they worked together as women, the way that they presented a very united front in the way that they wanted to, you know, put their kitchen out there. And I think that was very remarkable, and they were dedicated to what candle was burning in the reception, to which toilet paper was being used for the staff versus the guests. And there was a big uproar about the fact there was a difference at one point. And Ruthie was very upset. She was like, you know, our staff should use the same toilet paper as our guests. You know, like there was a real kind of care on the 360 level. I mean, kitchen is a very obvious inspiration in the way that they cook and teach you to cook and fall in love with ingredients. But I think, you know, as the way that they cared so much about all elements and each person is really kind of one of the key elements that I sort of came away with. But
yeah, you definitely feel like Ruthie cares. I think the most important thing for me, even if you're taking it beyond the River Cafe and back a step to Ballymaloe, yeah, which was run by Dorina Allen, you know, people think it's so incredible that we're women in this industry, but I mean, we're all sitting here today incredibly indebted
to two women.
To Ruth at the River Cafe and to Dorina Allen, and to, you know, all the women that we've worked with. The decision for us to open our own restaurant was so simple, and it was never something we questioned that we could do. And that's because we were only following the footsteps of these trailblazers who are just incredibly fierce, intelligent, committed to their identity when it comes to food and staff. And they've allowed us to do this without even considering our gender.
I don't think we've ever really considered our gender, like, you know, in a way that it was always just, you know, people often say, oh, you're three women. We never really considered it as a...
Of course you didn't. We haven't. Do. Many women end up as pastry chefs.
Totally. And I think it's super important to acknowledge this and to you know, give thanks to these women. And I think, you know, if we could be in a similar position to Dorina or Ruth... For someone else, if we can, you know, most of our kitchen is women. We've recently hired a man, and
we would change the entire atmosphere.
I think it was really hard for him at the start. I think he really got kind of pushed to the corner. We like sent him down to the man cave. We're like, you know, but he's really kind of.
But he's a certain type of guy as well, you know. So he can. Manage it, but
yeah, we've had a few others get pushed out.
Interesting.
I think we're definitely a really tight team, and I think you've got to be to work in our kitchen. I think you've got to be a real team worker. You've got to be very communicative. There's only three of us on the line each night.
It's a very small space as well. So
it is a small space.
Yeah.
But so all three of you working together, all, you know, came here, opened a restaurant, in many ways was mentored by two incredible women who are very acknowledged in the food industry. What are you doing in your restaurant to mentor the next generation of people that will go out there? Because restaurants in general do not have the best reputations for these wonderful atmospheres or cultures that are going on behind the scenes of the restaurant. Mm. There's a lot of screaming, there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of craziness. But you know, your kitchen is wide open. I mean, you can feel like this incredible, like you're in someone's house for dinner. You don't see that mostly in restaurants. You see the freneticness going on behind the scenes. And so,
but I think that's exactly why we chose an open kitchen. Like, that design is so integral to the entire heart of what King is. Like, we didn't want there to be a wall between the customers and the kitchen. We didn't want there to be a door between front of house and back of house. Like, it's all one holistic restaurant and there's nothing to hide. And I think that's like, if there's any magic to King, like, that is it. There's nothing to hide. We stand behind our staff. We stand behind the ingredients. There's like nothing shady happening anywhere that requires a veil or, you know, something to be closed off.
Right.
And people feel it. Like, customers comment on it all the time. They're like, oh my gosh, like, it's so amazing to see all the chefs like laughing and having a good time. Mm-hmm. Or like, it's so nice mm-hmm. that like everyone here clearly enjoys working here. And it's something that we really pride ourselves on.
And are there people that have been working for all of you since from the very beginning?
Yeah. The yeah. majority, like quite a lot of our staff and our sous chef, Sadie, she's been with us from prior to day one.
And what do you think about where you want her to be and what your goals are for her as
yeah.
you mentor her to go move
yeah.
forward at one
hugely,
point?
Hugely. I mean, all the time. I think being, you know, a young person in this industry, I only ever worked at the River Cafe before this, and I only worked there for under 2 years. Like, I went in with a lot of ambition. I knew exactly what I wanted to get out of it and exactly what I wanted to do next. And I think seeing someone like Sadie, who's also so highly intelligent, capable, I think we really just want to help her get wherever she wants to go and also help her discover where it is that she wants to go.
I think we're fortunate in a way that, as Claire said, we're kind of relatively early on in our stages of our career to a certain degree, that I think we still remember and appreciate and draw on our experience, our relatively recent experiences of working, you know,
and being new.
Yeah. And I think we haven't time, you know, the short amount of time that it has been, it's still very much inherent to our decision making. We haven't forgotten what it means to have been looked after or to have been, you know, treated well or with respect, or, you know, and I think that that's very, very kind of very important, obviously, to us. And I think it's something that we try and deliver on each day.
And so, of course, you came to New York with your eyes are sparkled and, you know, open this restaurant. It's going to be amazing. I mean, one of you, or maybe, you know, you were on the group when you sent me a deck.
Yes, I was going to bring that up,
originally,
yeah.
You know, and I responded to you.
I think we cold emailed you and we're like, hi, Joanne, you don't know who we are. Yeah. We know you like women and restaurants. Want to meet? And you were like, this is a terrible investment idea.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you're out of my neighborhood.
It's not scalable.
And it was a completely different thing than what you opened today.
Very similar.
It was going to be a different location.
Yes.
And so the heart of it is the same. Like, I think the food would have been the same, just kind of dressed up differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing.
Maybe you deleted that.
I found it the other day when I was cleaning out my room, and I was like, this is
terrible.
It was
hilarious. We had Annie's like friend from college took like headshots of us on this rooftop, and it was like yearbook photographs. Annie and I like standing there like this, kind of making these eyes, and
that's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, and I do remember thinking, wow, that's pretty amazing. These women are going to open up a restaurant because you just don't see it that often. I wish we did see it more. And hopefully we will in the future as many of them come through your restaurant yeah. and move forward.
I reckon we've got a good three yeah. restaurants that are going to come
definitely.
Up our country.
That's fantastic.
If you get an email from them, you should yeah. get it.
So, you know, what are the things that you didn't expect? I mean, you didn't run a restaurant before, right? Because
no.
you can be in the back of a restaurant. You can be learn all you want in terms of figuring out restaurants. But then you get there and you're like, oh, that's – I had no idea.
I mean, I think I could always visualize the food and the space, but never the customers. You can never actually imagine the people that are eating the food. It's just kind of like faceless food and service things happening. So I think absolutely everything has blown me away. to even have customers.
Yeah, that's
is pretty shocking.
you have a lot of customers.
I never visualized
room being filled.
I never visualized like anyone other than my mum coming.
I think we've all been really kind of surprised by how open people have been in the industry as well. You know, we were fortunate to have been introduced to some great people.
And you've won awards.
Oh, well, yeah, that. But,
well, not, yeah.
But they've been so kind of helpful from whether or not be like, this is who you need to speak to about getting a better person to pick up your trash, or help, we need a dishwasher, and someone's pointed them in our direction, or our numbers right? Well, I'll take a look. You know, everyone has been very, very kind of, you know,
it's a very
supportive.
Strong West Village restaurant community.
And that's been a really lovely surprise.
It doesn't surprise me, but I'm sure it wasn't something you expected.
No.
But how about in terms of like construction and money and the hiring? And I don't think you also think about, oh, insurance or HR or onboarding. You should be a plumber. They make the most
get
money.
Get a plumbing degree.
I wish I'd done that in London instead of my Spanish course. I think we approach construction like we did, like we would any other project. Like, it's obviously there's unexpected turns, but we had no other choice but to get it done in the time we had allotted ourselves. The alternative was that we just didn't open a restaurant.
Right.
I think there's always surprises, and it took a year and a half to realize that you'll never be prepared and there's always going to be something wrong.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's what it means to like live in the restaurant world. I remember the first day we opened our doors and we were already so exhausted from like trying to get open, getting through construction, having to like just hound people day in and day out. And then we're like, oh my gosh, we have to do this every single day now. And tomorrow and the day after. And that like you just have to be open when everyone else wants to be with their family, celebrating, eating out. You're open when the holidays are here. You're open when there's a snowstorm out. Like that kind of relentless energy was hard for me adjusting from, you know, a life where I wasn't working on those kinds of occasions.
So do you find that the majority of the people that are in your social world are also in this world because of the crazy hours that you work?
No.
That's the weird thing.
Trying to be quite separate, actually.
That's good.
Yeah. I think because it's because we didn't have friends in the restaurant world when we came here.
We've picked up some new restaurant friends, but I think all of us kind of hang out exclusively with non-restaurant folks.
Interesting.
Which is also refreshing, kind of balanced.
Well, it actually gives you a different perspective on a daily basis versus like being in your own little hole.
Yeah.
And so King's been open now how many?
A year and 8 months.
A year and 8 months. And I mean, the success has been overwhelming. I mean, I remember when I went, I think it was the first couple nights.
Oh dear. Thank God you came back.
It was delicious.
Did we send you an apology note?
No, not on. And you know, it was Ophelia who I was meeting with and said, hey, you know, I have these friends, they open up this restaurant, you know, da, da, and I was like, oh my God. I looked at them, I was like, these women emailed me. I was like, oh my God, that's so great. And she's like, I said, I want to go check it out. She's like, I said, could you get me a reservation tonight? She's like, sure. And I was like, great, get it for three, because I came with Lockhart Steel from Peter.
Yeah,
and he's like, what is this place?
Good question.
And then afterwards, he emailed the staff and he's like, you guys got to get on this place. You know,
it's always so embarrassing when someone comes in that you, because I met Ophelia in Tel Aviv like a year before we opened the restaurant. You know, you're on holiday, like you're traveling around the place and you're just telling everyone, you're like, yeah, I'm opening a restaurant, it's gonna be great. And they actually walk through your doors and they're like, this is shocking.
It always worries me when someone, particularly in the early months, and they're like, oh yeah, I was there in September. Do you want to come back?
I was great from day one.
Oh,
I really did. And I continue to come back. And I come back because I love the atmosphere and I love the food. I mean, it's all like a win-win-win. And so do you ever, I mean, you're all incredibly ambitious or you wouldn't be sitting here today. Do you think about where do you go from here? You know, now you've added lunch. Mm-hmm. You've done these wine events. that you did. I was James Beard that you did that
we
with?
We did the James Beard House last
year. Yeah, which is super cool. I mean, are you thinking, like, what is the future? Or are you just going to, like, hang on to this for a while?
I think, like, our first, like, what we feel is our first responsibility is obviously to King. And we want to get as much out of King as we can. We have such, like, while we have demand, we want to open up for lunch. We want to be there for the neighborhood. I think what makes us think about expanding is our staff and having people who kind of are ready for the next step or like are itching to do a bit more. And King is, at the end of the day, such a small place. So if we grow, it's going to be thoughtfully with the idea of like we have these amazing people who want to take on more. And how do we get them there?
Interesting.
And likewise with our staff and kind of wanting to find a place for them, I think in our considerations of what we do next, we also really want to find a place for our customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we cannot at King open for breakfast because we're in there from the crack of dawn prepping for lunch and dinner in a tiny space.
You could just do scones and coffee.
And also, if you come to the restaurant in the early evening through kind of 9 p.m. you can all some days practically not even get through the door because there's such a throng of people at the bar.
It only takes like a group of four to make it a throng. Yeah. In the bar at King. Yeah. It's so tiny.
We're crushed and we've got a 5-top window to sit. So I think in terms of thinking about what we do, it's like, well, what do our staff need? How can we promote people? And what do our customers need from us that we can't deliver at King in those four walls?
Well, there's real estate like right around you that could eventually, you know, a way to like expand so easily. I mean, that would make sense to me, right? I mean, it's like that whole, you could take the whole block, you know, you could do some interesting things. Which is probably what you're thinking about. And I like that you called it King because you're on King Street.
Yeah.
And how was that just like you were like figuring out and then you that just came to you in terms of the name? Or was just like, you are, let's name it where we land.
Well, I think we had a different name before, but we got into this massive debate with Luke, Claire's fiance, who was convinced that King was much more iconic and much more fitting. And
just believe whatever he says.
And we can, like, sit with it for a while.
I highly doubt that.
King is like, oh, you think of Burger King, you think of like King, like Royal King. And we really had to like let it simmer for a little bit.
I think it's like echoes the whole sentiment of the restaurant. Yeah. You know, like we've never pretended to be anything that we're not. You know, everything's so, it is what it is in every sense, you know. And so we're on King Street.
Yeah,
I love it. Okay. Well, you could have, if you think about it, it's called King, but you really have like the Queens.
I know. You're not the first
running the restaurant. You're not. I mean, but that's great. I mean, you could call the place next door Queen and the next place called Jack. You know,
we've got the entire deck of cards.
Exactly. I mean, you could really have the whole thing there, which is great. Well, thank you guys for coming in.
I am
very much applauding you from afar, although I do come in to eat, so it's not that far. But I think what you guys have done, I definitely will come down and have lunch for sure. But thank you.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Claire, Jess, and Annie for joining me on this podcast this week. And if you haven't been to King yet, what are you waiting for? You can check them out at kingrestaurant.nyc. You can follow them on Instagram and see some of their amazing yummy food at king.newyork.
Thank you to all our listeners for joining us this week. Stay up to date with Positively Gotham Gal. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can subscribe to our podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes. We'll see you next week.